Fight Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Shout out to our AM radio affiliates. It's Level 2. Ian Cameron will rejoin us in a couple of moments. We'll continue to bang on Monday's National Hockey League card. Then Jason B. Takafin will join us. We'll get on to the diamond as you look at the National League West standings right now. And nobody thought that the San Francisco Giants would be in first place at this time of the year, including myself. And it's not really a mirage. All right, these guys, they have a run differential of 27. You know, to put it in context, San Diego has a run differential of 19. San Francisco are a game and a half and up on San Diego right now. The Los Angeles Dodgers, 2.5 back. And that's the thing. Does anybody really believe that the San Francisco Giants are going to continue to play 500, 588 baseball for the rest of the year? No. And do people really believe that the Dodgers are going to continue to slump like this forever? But as we stated, it's the first time they've lost five series in a row since 2017. It's the first time they blew a six-run lead since 2010 or 11 or whatever it was, 11 on my birthday, August the 10th, 2011. You notice there's a lot of first-time things happening for the Los Angeles Dodgers this year. None of them are good. First time Clayton Kershaw left a game that early. First time they blew this lead. Hell, they literally blew the 13-0 lead the other night. And we'll get into that. Dave Roberts is bitching about the Angels bunting. Worry about your own decisions, bro. All right? Worry about the Dodgers. Don't worry about what the Angels are up to. Up next is Seattle. And the Dodgers played two games against Seattle earlier this year. And they actually split them. Then they get Miami. Although they are back home right now. And I would expect the Dodgers to start racking up some wins, because this has been quite a disastrous run. What is it, 13-17? 13-17 now? Whatever the hell it is, it's hard to keep up. I don't know. Is it 14-17? I think it's 14-17 now. 14-17. We did not take them today. I have lost with the Dodgers 3-4 times this past week, but I haven't taken them every day. I sort of take them and then realize, you know what? They still suck. Why am I taking them?
You think I'm dead, but I'm not.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. AD is back. Drops 42. This is good because Laker Twitter's blowing up. The Lakers are going to win the title again. Babano coming up next. Bring it.
Remember the good old days before you found us, got the winning edge, and started winning?
Neither do we.
Thank God. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You've got a lot to consider. Stats, matchups, injury reports, travel, weather.
That's why we're here.
Get the edge 24/7 on your source for gaming insights, expert perspectives,
and more.
We help make the odds. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're breaking it down with Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bub Banner. You can follow him on Twitter, get all of his picks, get on his mailing list, and more. Follow him on Twitter, at Babano, for all the information. So let's take a look at Monday's hockey card. Edmonton Oilers, -116. Montreal Canadiens need that point. Total 5.5. I think the Canadiens are in a good spot, but as Babano alluded to in our last segment, keep your eye on the Oilers lineup as well, and there will be line moves in this game. If the Oilers decide to rest a couple of players, they're in second place, so They can't go up or down in the standings, the Edmonton Oilers. So it's something to keep your eye on there. The Devils and the Flyers. So Babano, 6.5, and you were talking earlier about two non-playoff teams going over the number.
Yeah, definitely. One last thing too about Edmonton-Montreal. With Edmonton not only locked into second, but the euphoria that Connor McDavid felt for getting to 100 points and the way the team reacted to it. Just got that look of a game where you might not get Edmonton's A game, kind of like what we've saw with Dallas on Sunday night. So it does set up from a spot perspective. It's definitely a Montreal spot here. The question is, are they good enough to get it done? It's not a team playing good hockey. They've still got a couple of key injuries. We got to see that if they can get it going and nail down this playoff spot. They just need 1 point. Just get the game to regulation time. And they clinch a playoff spot, regardless of whether they win or lose. But I would probably only look to back the Canadians in that game. They're a slight home dog as of right now. You're right, New Jersey, Philadelphia. We mentioned that previous segment. Over the total for me, two teams that are not going to the playoffs, two teams that have been able to score goals but have given them up lately. Alex Lyon's actually played a little bit better in net lately for the Flyers, but still, it has the makings of a higher scoring game. Most of the New Jersey-Philly head-to-head encounters this year have gone over the total.
Yeah, you know what? I wonder here, should the Philadelphia Flyers be this big of favorites? Philadelphia Flyers are minus 158 favorites. As you talked about, they played well against Washington. You know what? They beat Philadelphia last week, too. So the Flyers actually have shown some pride in the last 2 weeks, haven't they? Down the stretch. They haven't quit.
Much better. And, you know, Giroux's been excellent lately, Couturier as well. Those are the leaders of the team, especially up front in the forward group. If the generals lead, the troops will follow. Shaq always says that. And that's what you're seeing right now with Couturier and Giroux. They're playing well. They're showing up, and a lot of their teammates now are doing the same. And you've seen a little bit of a pulse from Philadelphia the last few games. But you're right. I'm with you, though. I'm still not ready to lay minus 155 with them.
It's a big price. So let's see. How has the season matchup gone between these two teams? That's something to keep our
pretty much.
I tell you, the Devils have won the last three times.
Yep.
All right, and the Flyers won a couple of times early. So you're right. In fact, I think it's
New Jersey's got the better of it lately.
It's 4-3.
Yeah.
The Devils are 4-3 against these guys with three straight wins, which honestly, actually, I bring this up, Abano, because that's something that would piss the Flyers off. Like, you know, like we're saying, the Flyers aren't going to make the playoffs, but it's not meaningless. They know, guys, we don't want to lose again to these guys, you know. Yep. It's something to motivate them with, Babano. You know what I mean? Yep. Hey, guys, we lost three in a row to the Devils. Not tonight, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like preseason NFL football. A lot of these games this week in the NHL, you got to see what these players are saying, what these coaches are saying. What's the game plan? What is the purpose? What are you looking to accomplish in these games? If that's the best way to phrase it, what are you looking to accomplish in these games? If you can try to find that answer out, and you deduce that answer correctly, then you can probably capitalize on some of these spots late in the season.
Yeah, I think that's why they're favored, actually. I think it's sort of booked into the number kind of here. It's something to keep your eye on. It is pricey, but it is something that can motivate a Philadelphia Flyer team in this hockey game. So the New York Islanders and the Boston Bruins. I don't know. The Islanders are one team in which they've been resting guys and stuff. They've sat guys down. It seems like the Islanders just want the playoffs to start right now. And I don't know. It seems like they don't even care who they play.
This is one spot where I don't want to say go out there and lay minus 165, but this might be one favorite worth backing. Bruce Cassidy was not impressed one bit, not one little bit about the Rangers game ending the way it did on Saturday. The breakdowns defensively, the mistakes, giving up odd man rushes, giving up a 3-on-1 that led to Mika Zibanejad's goal in the third period on Saturday afternoon. It was not a happy head coach for the Bruins. And I know Boston, they now can't catch Pittsburgh. They've already clinched first in the division. You know, it's just a matter of, can they maybe move up to second, which is still up for grabs. But I think Boston shows up here. I think there's purpose. I think there's incentive for the Bruins. They're off a shoddy, shoddy effort against the Rangers Saturday. I think there's an incentive for them to play much, much better and get their game back in a position where it's much closer to playoff ready and playoff caliber than what we saw from them Saturday, because that was nothing close to playoff caliber from the Boston Bruins. The Islanders have been very up and down lately. I know they beat the Devils on the other night, but they lost to New Jersey the game before that. They have been unable to string wins together, the Islanders, believe it or not, and string quality performances together. So Boston might be the side I look at there.
Boston are up to minus 172 now at FanDuel. They're big favorites. That's kind of a problem. It's too big of a number, to be honest, but I don't know. The Islanders are a strange team. They've been disinterested. They've struggled, and then I don't know. There's never really been a sense of urgency to turn anything around. They've only won four times in their last 10 games. They've lost three of their last four games. They beat the Rangers two times in a row. Since then, they lost twice to Buffalo, and then they lost to New Jersey. It's been a disaster. And then they're coming off a win against the Devils right now. So Boston are very big favorites. There, the total is 5.5 in that game. Carolina and Nashville. This is kind of an interesting one as well, in that these teams know they're going to be playing each other. Like, they're locked in. They're going to be playing each other in the playoffs, yet they're playing each other tomorrow night here. And the Carolina Hurricanes are -138 road favorites right now. The Predators are +118, total 5.5.
So you got two teams that are playing each other in the first round. Carolina's got absolutely zilch on the line here Monday night because they've already clinched first place and the Central Division. Nashville is locked into the four seed. It wouldn't surprise me to see a couple players rested on both of these teams. I would expect UC Saros to get rested for Nashville. This guy's played a ton of hockey. He's had to because he's the only goalie Nashville's been able to count on lately during this run to get them in the playoffs. They haven't had Pekka Rinne barely even in the net for these last several weeks that they've been trying to make the playoffs. So I would expect Saros to get rested. This is just one of those games. It screams stay far away from it. You got two teams playing each other. Neither team has a thing on the line in this game. Both teams could be resting starters, maybe even goalies. Probably an easy pass for me.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, kicking it with us on Sunday, Bloody Sunday, the late night anger management class. So here's another game, Babano. We were talking about, guys, if you're just joining us, how down the stretch here in the NHL, the pattern has been teams that aren't going to the playoffs, when they play each other, they're generally higher scoring games. And the NHL actually had a higher scoring week this week. And here's a matchup between the Dallas Stars and the Chicago Blackhawks, although the total is 6.5. The Dallas Stars are pretty big road favorites here, -154.
Yeah, Chicago's, you know, playing their home finale. They played with pretty good effort, enthusiasm against the Stars.
They're a live dog here.
I think so.
How can the Stars have nothing to play for? You're going to lay 55 cents on the road with them?
No way. Yeah, Chicago or pass. I agree with you. Actually, when it comes to Carolina and Nashville, if I had to throw out a lean, I'd throw Carolina out there as a lean. I don't know if I'll lay -140, but they are off a loss, and Carolina's been very good off a loss. And I don't think they want to go crazy with losses and losses building into the playoffs. And Nashville could be the flatter of those two teams, so I'll lean a little to Carolina. Dallas, Chicago, I'm with you. Chicago at a plus price from a side perspective is the only way I would bet this game in terms of the money line. And like I said before with you, Gabe, the total, I could only look over the total. You got these two teams that are not in the playoffs head-to-head. It's been amazing how many of these games have gone over. Both Detroit-Columbus games, Arizona-San Jose games went over the total, two non-playoff teams. It's happening a ton, and it continues to happen.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Lamorenzi. All right, Babano, listen, we've got three more games to get to. We'll blast through these on the other side. We'll get Babano out of here. We got Jason B. Takafin's going to join us. We're going to talk baseball with a three-time A-ball champion, general manager of the Vancouver Canadiens, the Toronto Blue Jay A-ball affiliate. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
To win, you need a plan. We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming odds.
And more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Sports Rage Late Night. I am Arensky. We're kicking it. We're bringing it. SiriusXM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're breaking down Monday's NHL card with Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. All right, Babano. So we got the Vancouver Canucks and the Winnipeg Jets. The Jets are still playing for something. If they want to lock down third place in the Northern Division, and then they would end up playing against the Edmonton Oilers, or they could slip to fourth and end up playing against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I sort of get the feeling they'll end up being third when it's all said and done. They're pretty big favorites, -186 against the Vancouver Canucks, total 5.5.
Yeah, this one I might make a case for Winnipeg. As difficult as that is, I actually took Winnipeg the one game that they've won in their last like nine games when they beat Calgary 4-0 last week. I was on the Jets in that game at a plus price. I said this is the game where they snapped the losing streak. So I won with Winnipeg there. They played their best game in a while. Hellebuck's best game in a while. Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele finally got going offensively. And then I went against Winnipeg again on Saturday with Ottawa. I said, this is just too big of a price for the Senators, the way they're playing. And Ottawa beats Winnipeg on Saturday night. Now I think I'm coming back to Winnipeg because I don't think they just want to keep losing every single game until the playoffs. And they've got, obviously, a very beatable Vancouver Canucks team right now at home. The price is too high, so I'd go Winnipeg and regulation, but I think the Jets have it in them to bounce back and play a lot better than they did against Ottawa. I think they will. I don't, again, Vancouver after the games with Edmonton, I don't know what's left for them. The Jets in regulation would be the way I would go here.
They've beaten Winnipeg has owned Vancouver as well. They've beaten them three straight times and five of the last six times that they played against each other. So, the Winnipeg Jets have been in a free fall, though, like Babano stated. They've lost eight of their last nine hockey games, not exactly peaking at the right time of the year as the playoffs are rapidly approaching. Minus 186 right now. Puck line minus a puck and a half is plus 146. The total is 5.5. The Colorado Avalanche and the Vegas Golden Knights. Wow. Big time hockey game here, Babano. And the Avs are small road favorites here. Minus 110. Vegas Golden Knights minus 106. Total 5.5. In this game. And yeah, I find it interesting, actually, the Colorado would be small favorites, like on the road at Vegas. Vegas have a four-point lead on Colorado. They played one more game, so Vegas only have two more games left. Colorado have three more games left. And they've got a four-point lead, so they can ice this thing with a win tomorrow. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I think it's with a regulation win specifically, Vegas clinches the division. If it goes to overtime or a shootout, Colorado would still be alive. But if you're Colorado, you're thinking win the game. You have to pretty much win the game. You're 4 points back with three games left. You do have one game in hand on Vegas. But this is still a game you've got to look. If we want to win this division and overtake the Golden Knights, we have to win this game. You've got to look at it that way if you're the Avalanche. They're still very much a little bit banged up, though. That's a concern. And what bothers me, too, is when's the last time Colorado's played a good team in this division? You know, they feasted on L.A. and San Jose and a lot of really weak teams down the stretch in these last couple of weeks here. They haven't played a Vegas or a St. Louis or a Minnesota in this division, the better teams, in quite some time. So is Colorado ready for this? And we know Vegas at home, look, they're just a machine almost on home ice. Look at what they've done. They're on an incredible home winning streak. They already beat Colorado 5-2 the last time they played them here in Vegas. It's tough to go against Vegas at home. It just is. With Colorado, too, I want to see who's in. Do they get Byron back? Do they get a couple of these injured defensemen back? That's going to be a question going into this game. I need to know that if I'm even going to Nate McKinnon, you know, he's also been banged up, questionable as of right now for this game. Brandon Saad, Sam Girard, Gabe, Bowen Byram. It's a lot of artillery questionable to suit up for Colorado. I need clarity on that. And until then, it's Vegas or pass for me.
The Bando needs clarity, don't we all? On the late night anchor management class, Ian Cameron kicking with us. All right, but Bando, so this last game, I would say, you know what? Man, I like the Blues here. The Blues are minus 142 on the road. The Blues need this game. They've been playing good hockey. You got a Los Angeles Kings team, you know, who have been, you know, they haven't quit. You know, they're sort of playing 500 down the stretch here. They've been battling. One thing you notice, guys, about the Los Angeles Kings, most of their games are pretty close. Like, this is a team going in the right direction. I didn't expect a lot from them coming into the year, but I think this is a team going in the right direction. The Kings, you know, they're obviously lacking talent, but the fact is they have been competitive, and the Blues need this game. But it's surprising to see, Babano, that the Kings have owned the Blues, bro. They're 5-2 against the Blues this year, including winning the last two times they played.
Yeah, I mean, Todd McClellan for the Kings says he doesn't plan to give any players time off down the stretch, even though they're eliminated. Craig Berube says, if I let my players decide it, they won't want a night off. They'll want to play the rest of the games, rest of the season. It's tough to let players make that decision. I think you got to make it for them. They're hockey players. They want to play the game. So if you read between the tea leaves there, Berube might be resting some guys here in this game. It sounds like that to me. initially I was thinking I'd look St. Louis here because they've lost back-to-back games to Vegas. I know they've clinched the fourth spot. That's where they're going to be. But I think at some point you want to bounce back after two straight losses, and then you hear Berube saying, well, he might rest some guys, even though the players say they want to play. So it's tough. But I was initially leaning Blues. I think I would only back St. Louis, but we'll see who's in on Monday night.
I think you've talked me out of it, Vabano. You raised good points about St. Louis. We don't know their mindset right now. Simple as that.
A lot of older players. Most of their roster, 30 and above in terms of age. But half of them, I think, or close to half, are 30 years or older in terms of age. So talk about resting guys. This might be one team that looks to do that.
You know, it's interesting, though, because they still have three games left, Vabano, right? But you're right. They've locked it up, and they're not catching anybody, right? They're not catching anybody. So they're going to be the fourth-place team here. But do you really want to roll over and lose three more times in a row? No. You were like, really?
You don't want to Vegas. Do you want to keep on skidding right into the playoffs? I'm not so sure.
Yeah, you don't want to go into the playoffs on a six-game losing streak. You know what I mean? So it's one of these weird deals, but you're right. It might be tomorrow night. They're like, all right, we'll rest some guys tomorrow night, and we'll let them play one more game before the playoffs type of thing. You know what I mean? To get their legs back.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tricky week, guys.
This is one game that deserves further scrutiny. That's for sure. Before coming to a conclusion.
Yeah, the first game and the last game. The first game that we talked about, Edmonton and Montreal. Keep your eye on the Edmonton Oilers and how they approach this as far as their lineup is concerned, and the St. Louis Blues. You have to keep. And you know what? We'll see Carolina as well. Right? We don't know. We'll see how Carolina approaches this. Like, as we stated, Carolina and Nashville are playing each other. This week in the NHL, it's going to be each game just sort of has its own storyline, and you know why you have to be careful and beware of a battle of everything.
Think NFL preseason handicap. Yeah. Think week 17 NFL regular season handicap.
Yeah. Like every game, just don't look at the number and go, oh, look at this. No. Kick back and look at it. Think about it. Look at the standings. Read the coach's quotes. And because otherwise you're going to end up betting on a team going to be like, well, I didn't know they didn't play three guys tonight, right? So as we're telling you, yeah, the Blues have this locked up, but, you know, they've lost three in a row. They don't want to lose six games, you know, if another three and just roll over. But I actually lean with the Kings, to be honest. I can see the Kings ending strong. And another thing is, too, Babana, you brought it up earlier with the Blackhawks. Last home games is something that I do buy into, too. Teams do like to end strong, especially teams. If you're going to the playoffs, the last home game doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. A team that's not going to the playoffs, their last home game matters to them, Babano.
Exactly. I think there's definitely something to that. I mean, I'm going to go back again to Chicago against Dallas. Chicago's playing their last home games here of the season, and they got the victory. LA Kings could be in that same spot where even though you're out of the playoffs, you've not had the season you wanted, you're still at home, you still want to put on one good final show, I guess. For, I guess, whatever fans are there, even though it's a limited capacity. And you might see that kind of effort from the Kings and a lot of these teams in those last home game scenarios.
Well, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be limited capacity if they had a hockey team in Kansas City. You should have seen the crowd at the Sport of Kansas City game. Man, did they jam.
How about the Houston Astros game this weekend, the games against the Blue Jays this weekend? Holy mackerel, that was close to full capacity right there.
Yeah, they're jammed. You know what it is, though, in Houston? And in Texas, they're not vaccinated. They don't care. They're just back to normal, and life is normal.
It's going on. Yep.
Yeah. Like, the NFL draft was packed, but you had to be vaccinated to get in. Like, Knick games and Ranger games and Brooklyn. Like, New York, you have to be vaccinated to get into sporting events. Like, the Buffalo Bills have already told people for next year, like, coming up this year, that vaccinated only, but full capacity. So full capacity, but you have to have proof of vaccination
slip or something. You're going to have to show that you've been vaccinated.
Yeah, it's like it's on your phone. It's sort of like, you know, it's like you get your ticket and you know you have a proof of vaccination on your phone. They scan it, type of deal. But it's nice to see fans back at sporting.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
It's crazy how far behind Canada is, though, isn't it? Like, who would have thought after all this they couldn't even play a couple of damn hockey series?
Yep.
I don't know. We'll see. Well, it's a disadvantage. It is. It's going to put the Canadian team in a tough spot when they get to that Final Four, Babano. It just will.
Yeah, it is. And we're just struggling to get Canada to get to the point where we've got 5-10% capacity in the building for these games, let alone a full capacity. I mean, we're just trying to get somebody, one or two human beings in the arena.
Yeah, 0.1% capacity. I hope that the Canadian Football League is good to go. I hope that the CFL season is able to operate. They were planning on August 5th, You know, it'll fill that void. It's too bad we're not getting a full summer.
Out in your province where you are, Miss Bonnie Henry, she's a little she's not on board. The last I read earlier today that BC's dragging the feet a little bit in terms of granting the CFL's return to play request and saying, hey, we love it. We're on board.
It's never
going to
happen. They're never
– because the CFL says they need significant fans in the stadiums for this season to go off. They need it. They have to have significant fans. That's what Ambrosi has said, and that's the way he says
it. They need 40%.
For us to have a season.
They need 40% fans, or they can't do it. And it's not worth it type of thing unless they got some backing. All right, we got to get out of here, Babano. Ian Cameron, follow him on Twitter, at Babano. Thanks, Babano.
Thanks, Gabe.
Coming to you 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
With the sports gaming strategies and information you won't find anywhere else. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's knowing how to play the game, and then there's knowing how the game is played.
We're the second part.
Some call it strategy, but we just call it the edge.
Come and get it.
Your trusted source for gaming, odds, and more. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
The Late Night Anger Match McClass continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're breaking it down. Let's bring in Jason B. Takapet into the batter's box. A three-time champion with the Vancouver Canadiens, of course, the eight-ball affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays and the Oakland Athletics in yesteryear. Jason, always love stepping out of the diamond with you. How you doing tonight?
Just another quiet week in baseball, game. Two no-hitters. Abel Pujols gets bought out. Jacob deGrom is getting MRI as we speak. Just very nice and smooth week.
Yeah, not to mention we've got New York Met players fighting in the tunnel over raccoons or rats or whatever else is going on. And only the Mets could be in the middle of a five-game win streak and still have controversy. But that's another story. So as you mentioned, another couple of no-hitters. John Means, who has great stuff. So, you know, a lot of people really like John Means a lot. So the Baltimore Orioles, John Means throws a no-hitter. Then Wade Miley throws the no-hitter. Sean Manaea nearly had a no-hitter. His was broken up in the eighth inning. We have now four official no-hitters. Me and both Jason agreed that the Madison Bumgarner seven-inning no-hitter should have been, you know, should be counted. I think they're going to have to adjust that moving forward.
Yeah, they will.
If you're going to get credit for a complete game, then don't tell me it was a no-hitter. He threw a complete game, gave up no hits. That's a no-hitter. But our point is, there's been four official no-hitters, not counting Bumgarner, if you want to call it, you want to give him credit, that's five. It's the first time there's been four no-hitters before May 7th since 1917. And we're on pace right now to break the 1917 record. I believe there was eight no-hitters in 1917 when it was all said and done. I'm not sure we're going to get to 21, but that's what we're on pace for right now. 21 no-hitters.
If it's not 21 no-hitters, it's going to be guys that are perfect through four, perfect through six. Even DeGrom today, perfect through four, no-hitter through seven. It's the way the game is played now. When you have a three-outcome at-bat, walk, strikeout, home run, and the pitcher's feeling it, so he's got great control, so it's not going to be a walk, and the hitters aren't taught how to actually hit now. They're just hitting home runs, and when the pitcher's on, it's really hard, so you're going to get situations like this. This is, like, get used to this. This has been slowly building for a very long time. You've seen the amount of no-hitters and perfect games increase over the last, you know, 8 to 10 years. As long as the rules stay the same like this, which I think they are going to make rule changes, I know they're experimenting in the minor leagues, but as long as the rules stay like this, get used to it. This is going to happen.
Now, that's my concern right now. So you and I talked about the potential rule changes of the game, and we know that the Atlantic League that Major League Baseball works in conjunction with, like the Pioneer League's having a home run derby in extra innings. Now, Major League Baseball said, no, we're not. We have nothing to do with this. We're not studying it. That's their own thing. But the Atlantic League, they do have a deal with, where Major League Baseball is, you know, keeping track of, you know, they're basically the Atlantic League gets to, you know, as a test run for Major League Baseball. So they move the mound back a foot to 61 feet 6 inches. And, you know, I believe you look at what the batting averages are, and they're so low with all these no-hitters. People are going to look like there's a problem with the game when I don't think there's a problem with the game. You and I have talked about this in the past, Jason. There's a problem with the hitters. They're more concerned with their launch angles. They're more concerned with the exit velocity and just murdering the baseball, hitting it as hard and as far as possible. And, hey, if they hit one home run and they strike out three times, then so be it. They'll live with it. And, you know, I guess this is the new analytics of the game. We sort of see it with, you know, in basketball, the old, listen, guys, you either take a three-point shot or you dunk it. You do nothing in between. And people can say, well, it's ruining the flow of the game, but this is just the modern analytic world we're in right now. But I just don't – it won't change. If you move the hill back, you're rewarding players for being greedy. That's the way I look at it.
So, firstly, they are 100% studying the Pioneer League home run contest. They might have said we're not studying it, wink, wink, but the Pioneer, listen, let me tell you something. If there are 18 states have legalized sports gambling, the bill is passed, another four. If the Pioneer League is played in the game, and all of a sudden there's a that's coming in, the time to get out of cages, and the turtle, and the carpet, and all of a sudden there's an increase in betting for a five-pitch home run test, they're probably going to study that. Good thing you're seeing, I know it's shocking news, they're going to study that. Secondly, according to the with the players is they are only get rewarding because they get killed in arbitration. So they can only hit home runs. They can't have a situation where, let's say, for example, with you, let's say if your boss on the ground says, listen, Gabe, we only need a 2.5-hour show. And then in 6 months, when you go to renegotiate your contract or whatever, or the arbitration table, they yell at you for not, you know, doing 3 hours. And that's what's happening in baseball is you have a manager who's like, look, I would love to get the guys to move the guy over. I would love to get the guys to bunt, sacrifice fly, sort of play quote-unquote baseball. But then they get hammered at the arbitration table and they don't get paid. And then no one wins. And that's not very good. And that's what's happening now. And that's why I think they're going to tinker around with the rules. I know in the Atlantic League or in one of the minor leagues, they're toying around with they're getting rid of the shift where the infielders have, where they have to have four infielders on the infield, so you can do the shift, but you lose the depth. That's pretty good. They're experimenting the right way. At the very least, for me, I'm an optimist when it comes to these rule changes because I think that they realize there's a problem, and I think that moreover, the CBA, you know, Gabe, baseball reminds me a lot of hockey from 2004-05 when everyone, the conversation is like, is this good for the game? And every single bullet point, everything is up for conversation. And the CBA in 2022-23 is going to look crazy different than what it looks like now, ranging from there might even be a salary cap. There may be a length of term on contracts, which, you know, Pujols one is, you know, staring at us right in the face. There may be unrestricted free agency earlier. The service time manipulation might be everything is up for grabs. And I think the people know, certainly the players know, that the way the game is played and the pace of play is directly tied to how the players get paid. Because they get paid for launch angles, barrels, all these words that we didn't grow up, you know, listening to because they weren't important. It was wins and losses, but now there's so much money and the players are losing out on so much money arbitration. These words are important because that's how they're being judged.
I don't see how they avoid not missing a season or something, to be honest. I mean, we're talking about two. Yeah, well, there's two entities. We talked about it. Even when they agree on something, they don't agree to do it, right? So, and as you stated, this is the one shot now. This is the time to revolutionize the game. This is the time to dig in if you're the owners. This is the time to dig in if you're the players. Like you said, it's just such a massive, massive undertaking from expansion to television money to potential salary. Like you said, like everything is on the table and everything is up in the air. And I just don't see how it's humanly possible for these guys to negotiate that stuff in a matter of months. Now, I know they're already sort of slow talking, but as you mentioned, they're suing each other. They hate each other. Like, the Players Association are suing baseball for negotiating. They did negotiate in bad faith. So, like, I don't see how. Like I said, that would take years. It would take years for them to figure this stuff out.
In the last 5 years, Chris Bryant, who won Rookie of the Year, MVP in a World Series, sued the Chicago Cubs, for service time manipulation. Ken Mather, who is a president and part owner of the Seattle Mariners, literally told a Rotary Club in Bellevue, which is like, it was in the morning. He wasn't even after a few drinks. He basically said 15 different things that were wrong and illegal, ranging from how they're going to not pick up Kyle Seager's option to how they negotiate with players to drive down the price, all these different things. They know there's bad faith. Oh, by the way, there should be a DH this year. It's just they're not because they don't want to because the owners didn't want to pay a little bit more salaries, and the players were willing to give up and didn't want to do an expanded playoffs because they knew they were losing out on that. There is so many things wrong with the relationship right now. I just don't see how they don't miss a couple of games, or at the very least say, okay, we may have to play a little bit less next year to hammer this all out, or let's do this in three stages, maybe like three-year intervals, because there's too much money. But the situation is in such a bad place right now. I don't feel very good about the upcoming CBA talks. I really don't.
No, and one thing is as well, baseball players have already made a lot of money. It's a lot easier to tell someone to suck it when you've already got like $80 million in the bank, right? Like, you know, I know there's some young guys that are up and coming that haven't been paid yet, but for the most part, most of these baseball players have money. And they're not going to – they're the hardest. They stick together the most out of all these unions. Like, we know the NFL collapsed instantly. The NBA is very sort of star-driven. The stars will bully everybody else into sort of going along with the way things are going. Baseball is different. Like, they will not give an inch, as you stated, like everything. Like, basically – they're going to negotiate what kind of bottled water they drink in the room. We didn't agree to Evian. You know what I mean? It's going to be one of those type of deals. We didn't agree. You know, like, we didn't agree to meet you in this city. We say we meet in Nashville. Like, it's going to be everything. Everything will be contemptuous.
You saw how toxic it was this past two off seasons. They're looking at 60 games, 66 days, 80 days, 90 days. And then Manfred even said he wanted to lower it down so you had to pay even less without fans. I mean, look, it's not a who's blaming who. The problem with free agency, the players had it really good since Curt Flood broke through almost 50 years ago. And the problem is that with a free agency is that it's free. The owners have a decision to make to not pay players.
But we didn't get to that, Jason. Let's be real. The owners have essentially colluded to lower the
But here's my issue with that is there's a big enough sample size from the first lockout, let's say we go by 1994. You can say, look, it doesn't make us any more money to pay the middle class. Like Darren Dreyfuss at 5 years, $55 million. Kevin Brown, seven over $100 million. Brown's a little bit different because he was an elite player. If that doesn't, A, make us money, or B, make our team better. So you look at the Dodgers, who have more money than God. Like, literally, they have $8.25 billion coming in from their racket network in the next 25 years. They basically are saying, look, it's not a matter of saving money. We don't get better when we have... When we have, you know, Yasiel Puig making $100 million or Matt Kemp making eight over 160, like we're not better. And that's the fundamental issue here. And that's where the players have to sort of wake up and be like, look, we had it really good for a long time and it was good until it wasn't. And now it's not anymore. And maybe they should have seen that coming. But I'll tell you this, if they go to a salary cap, the first thing they better realize is they have to define baseball-related revenue, because you can't get into a situation like the hockey players are, where not only are the hockey players not a 50-50 split because they net out the insurance, so it's really 43%, but the players do not get a lick of expansion or relocation money, and that is money that could be going to increase a salary cap by $10 million every year.
And from what I understand, and baseball doesn't either, before the CBA.
Right, and that's why the players didn't want to expand the playoffs, because they weren't getting any money to them. The salaries are not linked. It's a free market. The salaries are not linked to revenue, which was very good for a very long time. But now there is so much revenue, and there is so much peripheral revenue going on with expanded playoffs and websites and social media and all these different ways to monetize everything. They need to get a piece of that now. It's not the end of the world to be linked to, you know, to be linked to revenue. They just have to do it properly and do it in very good faith.
Rob Manfred said earlier in the week that they think that an expansion fee is going to be $2.2 billion in that range, which unfortunately there's been talk about the Montreal Expos returning, and Rob Manfred has had Montreal at the top of the expansion list, but it seems I don't think they have that type of money, point blank. And part two, I think they're waiting out the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays lease is up. They can't get out of Tampa now. They can't get out until like 2027. And the owner basically wants the ball. Doesn't look like they're building a stadium there. So for people in Montreal, they'll have to hold out hope that it's going to be that route, because I don't see, I just don't see that Montreal group having $2.2 billion. Like we said, the players don't get any of this. So, you know, the owners would like to hurry up and actually crank a couple of expansion teams in here. More with Jason on the other side. It's the Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
Expert perspectives and actionable insights 24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
It's the Winning Edge.
What are you going to do? Not listen?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To win, you need a strategy.
A plan.
You've come to the right place. We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you
the winning edge.
I mean, we're not just doing this for our health.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Quick as 180 minutes of Sports Talk Radio. Shout out to everybody tuning in. Sirius XM, Channel 204. Shout out to our AM radio affiliate. Jason B. Takafin will rejoin us a little bit later on in a couple of moments. So we'll continue to talk baseball. As we brought this up earlier, the two biggest surprises in the league this year, the Boston Red Sox and the San Francisco Giants. And both these teams have been very, very profitable. And really, when we look at the market, our market watch right now, there really aren't a lot of teams that are making money. Like, you look at the National League West, the only team that you've made money betting on are the San Francisco Giants. Of course, so for the $100 better, $100 unit better, National League West, if you bet $100 on all 34 of the San Francisco Giant games, you're up $614. If you bet on every San Diego game, and we always tell you, we talk about San Diego a lot, and I say, listen, I think they're a good team, but they're overpriced. So even though they're three games over 500, they're still only, it's $253. They're down $253 on the season. Minus 253. The Dodgers are burning money like their fans are burning spliffs in the parking lot. Down $709 right now. The Arizona D-backs, these guys are on a slide right now. They were hot. They were making money. They're down $44. And the Colorado Rockies are just terrible. That's an instance. Like, Colorado and Detroit are just a case where they're bad teams, and they're just so bad, even though they're big dogs all the time, they're still not making money. If you bet $100 on every Colorado Rocky game, you're down $773. So San Francisco's the only profitable team in the National League West. San Francisco's up $614. San Diego down $253. Dodgers are down $709. Arizona $44. And Colorado. So the moral of this story is bet on San Francisco, bet against Colorado, and the Dodgers are a strange team. You know they're going to start to rack up some wins, but they're still overpriced, so when you take the Dodgers, you need to take them on the run line because they're always big favorites, right? So you need to take them on the run line. And you see when they win, like 14 of their 18 wins are by a run and a half. So if they're going to win, they're going to win by a run and a half. Similar situation in the National League East. You've got one team that's in the profit right now, the Philadelphia Phillies, of all teams. The Phillies, you're up $192. Everybody else has cost you money in a National League least. The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
Live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Sports Grid.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.